This Tether Talk podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Support this free service by donating at any amount, $5, $10, or $100 at tethertalk.com.
Welcome to Stutter Talk, everybody. Eric Jackson here with Dr. Joe Klein. Once again, Peter is in the production booth. How you holding up, Dr. Klein?
Really good. How you doing, Eric?
It's kind of forced of me to ask you again how you're holding up.
It is, but it's just all fun. You
know? It's all part of the game, Joe. Stutter Talk at StutterTalk.com. 206-888-4619. I have never said this on the show before, Joe, but I have been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder.
Okay.
I think I've spoken with you about my experiences in psychotherapy and how much they were helping. At first, I thought the diagnosis of an anxiety disorder was just so I could get coverage and because when you see a psychotherapist or any kind of therapist, you have to have some sort of diagnosis, right?
Right.
But obviously, the more I reflect and analyze in therapy and out of therapy, the more I realize that I do have significant amounts of anxiety in many social situations. I'm sure a lot of people who stutter are familiar with these feelings, and we're going to get into all of this, but Joe, do you experience significant anxiety in social situations?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I would say that in many situations, I do experience anxiety. I do experience probably more anxiety than the average person does. And I think, you know, one thing that we'll probably talk about here is, you know, how much of that anxiety is about stuttering, is just, you know, normal anxiety about, all right, I'm going to stutter on words, I'm going to have a hard time, I might have to talk about stuttering, and it's a pain in the butt to talk about stuttering all the time.
Always.
Always. And so I think it's very normal to have that kind of anxiety. But then, you know, there can also be additional anxiety, I think, there as well. And I'd have to say that for me, I think most of my anxiety is about the stuttering, but, you know, I think I do have a significant amount of anxiety, especially if I'm meeting new people or in new situations or I'm trying to impress people. So it's really, you know, it's really hard to know. It's really hard to be able to separate those two, you know, how much is just normal anxiety about stuttering and how much is sort of abnormal anxiety.
And that's an excellent point. There's stuttering and there is something called social anxiety disorder, and they often coexist. I think it's something like 50 to 75% of people who stutter have some type of social anxiety. I don't really want to get into how the DSM-4 defines stuttering versus social anxiety, but I do think it's important to mention that if the anxiety is caused by the stuttering, if it's related to the stuttering, then that diagnosis would be stuttering. If it's not, and it's triggered by a social situation, it would generally be classified as social anxiety disorder. Is that fair to say?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And now back to your point, Joe. I, in doing all of this introspection, and especially over the past couple months, I've been trying to tease out whether this crazy anxiety I sometimes have is stuttering related or it's not. And the more I think about it, the more confused I get, just like anything else. I'm beginning to think that it's not really important what it is. If it's there, it's there. And certainly approaches to therapy for stuttering and for the social anxiety disorder can be very similar. I just don't think it's important necessarily to try and figure out what the anxiety is. Is it stuttering related or is it not? What are your thoughts?
No, I think that's a great point in that, you know, I think even if it is just about the stuttering, if you're having an abnormal, really, I shouldn't say that, if you're having high anxiety, just really high levels of anxiety, and even if it is just about the stuttering, you know, and that if it does seem like it's more anxiety than maybe you should be having, I think it probably can just be about the stuttering. I think it would be almost strange, or maybe I shouldn't say strange, but I think it takes a lot of work to really not be anxious about your stuttering. Mm. And so I think having some anxiety about the fact that we stutter is really normal, you know, but I think having more than some, you know, could be a real problem.
Yeah. For me, the toughest thing to deal with about anxiety, whether it's related to stuttering or just social anxiety in communication, is that there is a paralyzing effect. And a lot of times, it's just really, really difficult when the anxiety sets in to think clearly. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because for years there, when my goal, my primary goal was to go into every single speaking situation I could, was to be heard, was to feel at times incredible amounts of anxiety, but to do it anyway and to not avoid, you know, just try to get your point across. Now I'm feeling like I've done so much desensitization work and I really feel like I am okay. I'm fine with stuttering in front of people. You know, now my goal has kind of shifted to actually saying something meaningful now and right, saying something that's clear and that makes sense. And even on this podcast, it's just really hard to make my point sometimes, and it's directly a a result of this anxiety I sometimes have in social situations.
Well, that, and you know, that's so interesting to me too, because you are just a very social person, and you always seem very comfortable to me. You know, anytime we've been around other people or at a, you know, at a social gathering or whatever, you've always seemed to be very comfortable interacting with people. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't have, I guess, suspected that.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she had a very similar response. I had told her that I had been feeling some anxiety lately, and she said, "What? You know, you don't tell me that." Because she kind of deals with anxiety a little bit, and she kind of always looked at it, me as a person who would go into any situation and speak, you know? And I can do that well. I think that part of my therapy, as I was saying before, over the past couple of years, has been to go into situations and to always make sure I'm heard, you know? So that was always the goal. The anxiety was always there, but I was able to kind of harness it. Regardless of what it was I was saying, I would go in and speak, and I was okay with that at the time because I felt like I was accomplishing something. I was getting my goal done. Like, I wasn't going to let stuttering hold me back in any way. But now, it's just kind of changing, and I'm just wondering out loud if that's what happens to people. Like if that's the natural progression of things, you know? Like, you can only go out and prove that you're not afraid to speak for so long. And then you got to start to think about, like, well, is what you're saying meaningful? Are you making sense? Are you getting your point across? Am I making any sense right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And as you're talking about this, too, I'm really thinking about, you know, the classic fluency shaping programs where, you know, they don't deal with attitudes and emotions at all and just really assume that once you get fluency that you're just fine, that you don't need any kind of work on either anxiety or shame or fear or anything else. And just thinking that, you know, if for people who stutter, you know, if we've been stuttering for 30 years or 20 years or 40 years or whatever, and have had a lot of anxiety about that, you know, and have felt, you know, really anxious. And I can remember, you know, at school, I can almost feel my heartbeat right now, you know, like knowing I'd be called upon and my hands feeling like they're sweaty and, you know, and just getting so nervous about having to talk. And, you know, to some extent, I'm not sure that just if you get more fluent or if you get, you know, more comfortable with your stuttering, I'm not sure that your anxiety necessarily goes away. You know, because it's still there and it's still real. And you know, I think it's really possible that it just kind of manifests itself in a little bit of a different place, you know, so that, okay, you're not as worried about your stuttering now, but, you know, it's still, I think, for a lot of people, I think having anxiety for a long time, you know, is really, it's really real. And I'm not sure it does just suddenly go away when the stuttering isn't so bothersome anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does. And I guess what it sounds like you're saying is that what can also happen is that, you know, I hate to go back to trying to tease these two things apart, but it sounds like what you're talking about is maybe at first it could be anxiety secondary to stuttering, right? But then if you live with this for all those years and it just starts to feel, in a way, normal, you know, the
right.
anxiety that you experience socially, if it starts to be feel normal like that, then perhaps it can morph into more of a socially triggered anxiety as opposed to a stuttering triggered anxiety. But like, again, even as I say that, I'm like, but really, from a therapeutic perspective, what's the point in teasing these two things apart? I can't really think of one.
Right. No, I think if a person is experiencing a lot of anxiety, in, you know, in some ways it doesn't matter why. I totally agree with that. You know, if an individual has so much anxiety that it's really interfering with what he or she is saying or how he or she is functioning, and then it's a problem no matter what the cause is.
Right. Exactly. Well, we're going to be talking about anxiety, I have a feeling, on Stutter Talk for a long time.
That sounds good. No, you know, it is a big topic.
Yeah.
And it's weird, you know, I almost think a lot of people who stutter don't like to talk about it.
Yes.
Just because, you know, for so long, oh, you stutter because you're anxious.
Yes.
And I think all of us know that that's not true. So then if we stutter and we're anxious, we're like, oh, I'm fine. You know,
right,
I'm not,
right, right.
I'm not anxious at all. I just stutter. But so I think it's almost like a taboo subject for a lot of people. You stutter. So I think it's a really important topic. I really do.
I'm sorry to keep going with this here, but I also think of people who like us, for example, who spend a really long time like desensitizing and working towards becoming okay stuttering in front of people. I think you do that for so long, and then when you still feel this anxiety, it's like you at first try to tell yourself, oh, I don't get anxious anymore. I took care of that. I'm just working on my stuttering now, or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Joseph Sheehan used to talk about the giant in chains, where, you know, so many people who stutter would think, oh, if I just didn't stutter, you know, I'd be perfect.
Right.
I'd be president, and I'd be married to a supermodel, and I'd be whatever. And so you do kind of think, God, if I can just get my stuttering under control, And if my stuttering isn't such a big deal, I can do anything and I'll feel great and life will go perfectly. And then, you know, you come to a realization that, gosh, if I don't stutter, then I'm just like everybody else, you know, and I have the same problems that everybody right. else does. I just don't happen to worry as much about my stuttering.
Joe, in a couple of months now, right, the weekend workshop will be taking place up at the College of St. Rose, right?
In 1 month.
Oh, in 1 month.
It is crazy. Kind of scary, actually. In 1 month, March 19, 20, 21, we are having our weekend workshop for people who stutter, and we've got the grad students at St. Rose will be working individually with individuals who stutter, and we'll have probably about somewhere between 15 and 20 ASHA licensed professionals who are really interested in stuttering, who will be supervising the students, and it's really an incredible amount of fun, and it is also a place where I think a lot of people learn a lot. I know the students learn a lot about stuttering, and I know the clients who stutter learn a lot about what it's like to stutter and maybe to be a little bit more fluent and maybe to also be okay with the amount of stuttering that they have. So it's a really neat combination of therapy and support that goes on, and I just wanted to kind of throw out a plug into make sure that everybody knew what was going on up in Albany, New York, March 19, 20, and 21. And we were lucky enough to have you up there last year. Do you think you'll be joining us again up there this year?
Oh, yeah. I have a... I've been to a couple of the weekend workshops now. The first one I went to was back in 2001, I think, as a client. And then I went back last year to kind of hang out and shoot some video and stuff. And yeah, it's all that you say it is, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a bunch of familiar faces from last year, and also looking forward to having beers with you and Dr. Bob Kweezel.
Absolutely, absolutely. He is going to be our keynote speaker for the weekend, and we're really excited that Dr. Kweezel will be coming in. He's really a legend in the field. I know that you guys have had the opportunity to have him on Stutter Talk, and he's just, you know, he's that great combination of somebody who is really smart, really personable, and really funny. And
totally.
So he's a great speaker, and he's so wonderful to get to listen to. So we're really excited about that.
Where can people find out more information? And we'll obviously link to it on the site, too.
Oh, great. Yeah. If you can link to it on the site, and then people are also welcome to call me, area code 518-364. Oh, that's my cell phone number. Hold on. 518-454-5205. And to shoot me an email at KleinJ, that's KLEINJ, at St. Rose, or Strose, STROSE, .edu. We would love to talk to you and maybe help some people help some people be able to participate in the weekend. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, Strose, shouldn't be confused with that really cheap brand of beer that used to be distributed.
Right, there's no H. There's no H.
It still might be distributed. I don't know if they still make Stroh's.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to confuse that. It's a completely different thing. Yes.
All right, man. Well, that's great. Yep. So it was a pleasure speaking with you again, Dr. Klein.
Great talking to you, Eric. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Stutter Talk at StutterTalk.com, 206-888-4619.